at the book of Ecclesiastes and see what Ecclesiastes has been teaching us. I know she's back there somewhere. You can come out. And we tried a lot of different keys, as the book has been trying to teach us a lot of keys. And his purpose, Solomon's purpose in writing this, is that he tried a lot of different things. Everything under the sun that he could think of to try to bring meaning and purpose to life. And we've been learning from some of these, and we've tried several keys to open this door, and so far the door is still closed, and it's still locked. So far we have tried the key of activities. We tried the key of stuff. Last week we tried three. We tried the key of pleasure, wisdom, and work. And we've tried five keys so far, and the door is still locked. Are we going to be able to find a life full of meaning? Maybe in the key we try this morning. So let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, as we continue this series together and see if we can get this door open. See if we can discover how we can have a meaning, a life full of meaning from this book of Ecclesiastes. Today we arrive at chapter 3. Solomon writing, and you've heard these words before, very popular. They were set to music by a group called the Birds, which took the words right actually from the scripture here. But says, there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden that God has laid on men. But he has made everything beautiful in his time. And he has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. That everyone may eat, drink, and find satisfaction in all his toil. And this is the gift from God. I know that everything God does will endure forever, and nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever has been and whatever has already been, and what has been will have been before. And God will call the past into account. Here's a reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. As we read that scripture, there is one word that is repeated. It is the word time, exactly. And time. Have you ever stopped to consider how much of our life is governed by time? Well, they say that there is a right time or a time for everything. In fact, Solomon says that there is a time for everything. And timing is important. And how many of our events in life are governed by time? For example, sports. In the sports world, timing is important. Because we have the clock in football, and you get to the end of the fourth quarter, and when the clock gets to zero at the end of the fourth quarter, the team with the most points wins. Or if it's a track event, How many track events have been won in a fraction of a second, or a swimming meet in a fraction of a second? We think of the importance of time in sports. Or the importance of time in comedy. You know, if a comedian is telling a joke and his timing is off and he delivers the punchline at the wrong time, that could not work too well. Or timing's important in medicine. For those of us getting older, we have to take our medicine at a certain time, don't we? And if we take it too early or too late, the effects of it may not work. Or if we take it and don't remember and we take another one, we can overdose on the medicine. And so for me, as I'm getting older, I have my little pill box that I have to put in there morning and evening so I know when to take my pill at the proper time. You ever been there? Can you identify with that? So timing is important in our medicine. Timing is important when it comes to church because we start at a certain time and we end at the right time, right? And time governs the length of a sermon, right? Does time come into play there? I heard a sure to that. So short. It shouldn't. But time governs everything we do. So timing is really important. Have you ever stopped to notice how fast time goes? Did you ever hear the story of a man who threw the alarm clock out the window? And someone asked him, why'd you do that? He said, well, I wanted to see time fly. But, you know, we spend our childhood years wishing we could be 16. And we get to be 16 because we want to drive. And then we get older and say, boy, I just can't wait to get older. And we get older, we wish we could be younger again. And I don't know if you discovered it, but I discovered that as we get older, it seems like every year goes faster and faster than the year before. And we feel like the guy in this picture. You know, that we're standing there looking at the clock from the moment we're born all the way to getting older. And we're standing like, we look back and say, where did the time go? Here it is, we're almost halfway through 2017 already. The time flies, and time is important. And Solomon spent a lot of verses in this portion that we're looking at, chapter 3, talking about time. So we discovered that stuff and activity and work and pleasure, all those things can't give a meaningful life, but the importance that Solomon puts on time and the fact that time governs everything we do, surely time is the answer, right? Time gives us a meaningful life. So we got another key here. So let's try this one. As important as time is, surely time will open the door. So we'll put it in, as we've been trying before. Give it the pull. No. It still didn't work. The door's still locked. But yet Solomon had something to say about time and what we can learn about it because it is so important and governed everything by it. He commented on time because time can seem meaningless. And for Solomon, the point that he was making in chapter 3 is that without the Lord and without the proper use of time, and God is the sovereign over time, time becomes meaningless in our life and it doesn't have a purpose. Even though everything that we do is governed by it, it becomes meaningless in our life without the Lord. And if we think just time itself will give us value and meaning, it's not there. So let's look at the scripture this morning to see what we can discover. Two truths about time and what we can learn from it, because it's all about time today. And the first one is that God has appointed a right time for everything. Solomon reminds us that God has appointed a right time for everything in our life and for all of creation. In verse 1, he says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Solomon begins by saying time can only have meaning in our life if we realize that God established time. that God is Lord over it, and he is sovereign because he sets the time. We're told in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, that God put the sun and the moon and the stars in the heavens for a purpose. And it says that they were placed in the purpose for the keeping of times and seasons. And that God has set and established every time in our life for a reason and for a purpose. And that's what we learn here. Because there is a reason for everything. He said the time, there is a time or a reason for everything because God is sovereign and the events of our life are not happenstance. Nothing happens by chance in our life if we are believers because God is in control. We have and believe in a sovereign God who is in control and establishes all things according to his purpose. And he has a purpose and plan, so there's no surprises to him. And understanding that, that gives life meaning. And that gives time meaning. Because God appoints all things. Notice he says in verse 2 that there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot. But in Solomon saying that there is a time to be born and there is a time to die, do you realize what he is saying is that God has appointed and knows when we will be born and he knows when we'll die? Those dates are known by him. And all of our life in between, because God establishes when we're born and he knows when we're going to die, all those days in between are the days that we need to live for the Lord and use that time for him and guided by him. Look at Psalm 139 with me. Turn to Psalm 139, verse 16. And Psalm 139 is one of my favorites. And it talks about God knew us in our mother's womb. But in verse 16 of that psalm, he says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And so God knows when all of us would be born. And he knows the future. And he knows we're going to die. So that brings comfort to us in a way to know that until that time comes, God is going to guide us and that nothing or no one can take our life until the appointed time. Aren't you thankful for that? Because God is in control and all of our days are in his hands. And he is the only one that can give meaning to time because he sets the times. And there's a reason for everything. Just as he says here, a time to be born, a time to plant, and a time to uproot. There's a reason when God established creation that he put the seasons in the order that he did. There's a reason why God put all of the laws of creation into effect because it all has a purpose in his plan and fulfilling his plan. And so we can be comforted by that. So when we go through those tough times in our life, and we go through those times of pain, and those times of sadness, because Solomon says there is a time for everything. We're going to come back to that. But when we go through those, we can find meaning and comfort in the fact that God has a reason. We may not always know it. We may not always understand it. But remember Job. When Job went through his time of trial and his time of testing, he never, ever knew the reason why God allowed him to go through that. And God may allow things to come into our life for a reason known only to him at the time. But we can have comfort to know that he has a reason in it. And we can trust him. So time takes on meaning when we realize that God is Lord over it. When we realize that he has appointed your life and mine and the times in our life to fill out his purpose and his will within us. And also that there is a season for everything. He tells us here in from verses 2 down to verse 8. He said that there is a season for everything. And then goes on to list 14 pairings of opposites. These next seven verses from 2 to 8 have two groups of pairings of putting opposites together. And it was a device called mirrorism that Solomon used where an opposite would be put against each other, like heaven and earth, to show that it's not just heaven and earth, but everything in between. And he starts with being born, with the time to be born and time to die, meaning all of life, and goes on to include things like planting and reaping, keeping and throwing away, searching and giving up, speaking and not speaking, but laughing, mourning, a whole bunch of different events he's talking about. But what he is using is an event to paint a picture, to paint a picture of all of life. And he's trying to tell us that life on earth, from the moment we're born to the moment we die, we're going to experience times of joy, times of sorrow, times of sadness, times of rejoicing, times of plenty, times of want. Through all of life on earth, we're going to have a variety of experiences, and we're going to go through all of them. And think back in your own life. You think of those times when we had the joys of birth, when you gave birth to your grandchild was born, or your child, the times of birth, then the times of death, the times of great rejoicing, times of sadness, times of sickness, times of health. We go through them all, don't we? And on earth, we are going to experience all of those. And that's what Solomon is telling us. But he wants us to know that it is only a season. That there is a time for everything. And God's going to allow in our life to have us go through those times when everything is going well. And we're on the top of the mountain. And everything is great and we're rejoicing there. But he's also going to allow us to go through those times in the valley. Whenever it seems like everything is bottom is falling out of our life. And we wonder how we can make it. Life has all of those times that we can't escape it, can we? That's the reality of life. But he says it's a season. So the good news of that is, what he's trying to tell us is life takes on meaning. And time takes on meaning when we understand that, because it's only a temporary time in our life. After the cold and brutality and the chill of winter comes spring. There is a time and a purpose for winter, but aren't you thankful that winter doesn't last all year? I sure am. Because after that comes spring. And I love spring. But if we stayed in spring all year, the time of planting, then when would we have the time of growing and the time of harvest? And there's appropriate time for everything and all those seasons in our life, but there are only a season. And that's what Solomon's telling us here. So when you're going through a tough time in your life, be encouraged, because God says this too will pass. It's a season I'm allowing you to go through right now because I have a purpose in it that maybe you don't understand, maybe you don't see, but I do. And in the end, someday, maybe you'll understand the reasoning, God says, but it's only a season. It will pass. God knows what he's doing. So he sets the time, but he also validates the time. And that God gives meaning and purpose to our time on earth. You know, if you walk through a graveyard and you look at the tombstones and you'll see the day that person was born, and then you see the day that they died, and then you see the dash in the middle. And it's that dash in the middle, our life on earth. And it's God that gives meaning to those days in between, from the time of our birth to the time of our death. Every day has a meaning and purpose, and God validates that. Because without him, we're only marking time. Without him, life doesn't mean anything. Time doesn't mean and have no purpose without the Lord. and without acknowledging that fact that he is sovereign and has a plan and purpose. It has no meaning and no point to it. And we're just going through the daily activities and events of life, getting up and going through our daily routine, day in, day after, the next one, the same old thing. And if without the Lord, it means nothing. And we just feel like we're spinning our wheels. When I was in band in high school and in college, in between when we'd be on a field doing a halftime show, to get from one place to another, or if we were in a parade, sometimes we would have to stand there, sometimes and mark time. And you just stand there in the music, just like this, back and forth and in place, just lifting your feet up, and not going anywhere, not gaining anywhere, but just marking time, keeping the time, but not advancing. And that's how life is without God giving us meaning and purpose. It seems like we're just marking time through life. I come across the story this week of this guy who was watching a man on his farm. He was watching a farmer feed his pigs. And he noticed how he was feeding his pigs. It was an unusual manner. He would take each one of his pigs individually and would pick him up and lift him up to the apple tree and let the pig eat from the apple tree directly. He'd eat that apple, and after he was done, he would take him and move him to another apple and let him eat that one. Then he would take him to move him to another apple and let him eat that one. And then after that pig was full, he would set it down. He'd pick up another one. Then he'd take it to the apple tree and let him eat that one and then the next one. The guy stood there and he watched it for a while. He said, you know, he said, I understand why you're doing that. He said, that's a totally waste of time. He said, you'd be a lot more efficient in your time, use of time, if you would shake the tree and let the apples fall to the ground. And then let the pigs eat them off the ground. Isn't that a more useful use of time? He said, you're just wasting time. And the farmer said, what's time to a pig? But you know, that's how life is without Christ. He validates it and gives purpose and meaning to our life. Or without him, we feel like we are just wasting time. What's the meaning of life? What's the purpose of between birth and death and our time on earth if God didn't put us here for a reason and a purpose? If he doesn't have a reason behind what he does and allows in our life we experience, if there's no point to it, then what's the matter? What difference does it make? But when we realize that we have been placed here for a God-ordained purpose, and God allows all the events and is orchestrating all the events of our life to accomplish his purpose and will in you at the proper time, that takes on a totally different meaning. And that gives value and purpose and time to our life on earth. It's like how on a football player, when a football player is playing a game and he takes the ball, if he's an offensive player and a running back, and he's trying to take that ball and run it down the field, and he gets tackled. When he gets tackled, what's he do? He gets up and gets the ball the next play and runs again, gets tackled and gets down again. But he keeps doing it one down at a time, trying to eventually advance the ball one dime down at a time. Doesn't fully understand the whole picture and the whole game plan, trusting that the coach has a game plan that he doesn't see. So he's following the plays as the plays are called in by the coach, and executes the play that he's been given one down at a time, eventually trusting that there's a bigger game plan he doesn't see. Or have you ever tried to watch a film one frame at a time? And if you try to watch a film one frame at a time, it doesn't make sense. But a director knows what he's doing and knows the script and the screenplay, puts it together, and all those little segments into one film and edited because he knows in his mind the story he wants to tell. And see, that's how it is in our life with God. We go through the daily events of life, and Solomon says we're all going to have them, a time of mourning, a time of dancing, a time of rejoicing, a time of sorrow, a time when we have plenty, a time when we have little. And we go through it and we say, God, what are you doing? It doesn't make sense. But he has a purpose. And he sees the whole story, the beginning from the end. And he validates the time when we trust him. And knowing that in this season that we're in, it's only a season right now, but God has a purpose. And so it's, Lord, what are you teaching me or want me to learn in this season of time? When Kim mentioned earlier about her leg and the pain she's having, and when she was going through all those times of testing and we aren't sure what was going on, and we both said to each other, Lord, what is the Lord trying to teach us through this? What do you want us to learn? And when you're going through those tough experiences in life and that season of time when everything seems to be a hard time, say, Lord, what is your purpose? What do you want me to learn in this season that I'm experiencing right now? Because he gives meaning and value in it. He has a purpose in all that he does. Without him, we're just marking time. It doesn't make sense. And without him, nothing's gained. Without the Lord giving meaning and purpose, nothing seems to be gained of our time on earth. We can live all of our days, and the Bible says if we're for 70 days plus, we can go through all of our life on earth, and without the Lord, nothing's gained. It doesn't mean anything. We get to the end of our life, we look back, we say, what has been accomplished? Notice, in each of these pairings from verse 2 to 8, there's 14 of them paired together, but one positive one and one negative one. Here's a little math lesson for you. And this is hard coming from me. I'm not a mathematician, so hopefully this is right. I think I understand this basic principle of math. But one positive one and one negative one paired with each other is 14. And when you take a positive to a negative, what does that do? The positive and the negative cancel each other out. And so you have 14 positives, 14 negatives. They eventually cancel each other out, leaving one big flat zero. And Solomon making the point that without the Lord, nothing's gained. All of our time on earth, it basically ends a big zero. We can be trying to accomplish everything the world tells us, putting ourselves in activity and stuff and all the other things that we try to see that don't open that door. And if we do, it's a waste of time. The world might say, oh, we've gained a lot. But in the end, nothing really was gained. Because without Christ, nothing is gained. And our time then becomes meaningless. It's useless. He's the one who gives value and validates our time here on earth. So God has appointed a right time for everything. It's the first thing we see in these verses. But secondly, we see that God is always right on time. But not only does he appoint time, a set time in our life for everything, but he is right on time. He's never early. He's never late. But he's always right on time. Verses 11 to 15, verses 9 to 15, he says, 11 to 15, what does a man gain from the toil? He says, it equals nothing. But in verse 11, he says, he has made everything beautiful in his time and has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God is right on time. He knows because he has established time. So we can take his word, and when he talks about time and its meaning and value, we can take his word because he's right in what he says. And he's right on time because he makes all things beautiful at the appointed time, and we can take trust in this and confidence in this. That word beautiful means good or right. And God makes everything good and right at the appointed time. And we can believe him and we can trust him. It's hard to believe and it's hard for us to accept sometimes when we're going through that painful season. When we're in winter and the cold of winter. And that season and the wind is blowing around us and the storms are raging. And we're going through that season of life that God has allowed for some reason. It's hard for us in our humanness to think that God knows what he's doing. But at the appointed time, he will make things right. The time known only to him, and that time is completed, he will make things right and restore it. And Solomon says we can have confidence in that, and we can find meaning as we're going through life now in the fact that God will make it right and make it beautiful in his time. He also gives us a longing for a better time, a time that things will get better. Notice he says that he has set eternity in the hearts of men. By setting eternity in hearts, I mean meaning that God has placed within us a desire for home, a desire to be with him, a desire to place time when everything will be right and everything will be perfect, and have a longing for the day that Jesus Christ comes and all is made right. Aren't you looking forward to that day? Or a longing for home? When God has put that within us, a longing for a better time. Because this life, as great as we can enjoy things here, this life is not as great and glorious as what is headed for us. The time in eternity is going to be far more glorious than anything we can imagine here. And what God has in store for us in heaven excites us, and it should. And he gives us that longing for a better time because he set eternity in your heart. So know as you're going through those seasons in life here, they're only temporary, and there's something better coming. It's a better time and a better place ahead. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you are too. When all this will pass, for God has something better in store. And he alone knows when to bring time to an end. He says here, he has made everything beautiful in his time instead of turning the hearts of men, but yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And what Solomon is saying there is that we cannot understand God's ways and his timing. He works in ways that we don't understand, and a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years. And the times are known only to him. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus said, "No one knows the day or the hour that the Father has established when the Lord will come except, no one knows except the Father himself." And in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, Jesus said, "It's not for us to know the times and the seasons, but it's for us to trust God to know that he knows at the proper time when to bring things to an end." And we're talking about things in the world at the proper time when it says the trumpet will sound. God says, "I'm ready. Sound the alarm." And he ends all the suffering on this earth and he returns. He knows when that time is. Until that time, we need to be about his work being faithful. Or when we're going through those times in our personal life and we're going through those hard, sad experiences and we say, "Lord, how long must I endure this? When will this season end? When will I get through this winter to spring and summer?" And God knows, and at the appointed time, he will end. And when will that be? He knows when to bring that time to an end. Sometimes it's when we learn the lesson that he wants us to learn. It's when the work that he wants to be completed in us is done. Because he will bring to completion what he starts in us. And he'll allow us to go through a season in our life until his purpose is accomplished. Until we learn from him what it is that he wants us to know. Until we become more fashioned like his son. And when his work and will is accomplished, then he will bring that to an end. And we have that confidence. But we don't know those days. So it's up for us to trust and to wait. And waiting on God's timing is hard, isn't it? It's like Mary and Martha whenever they arrived, whenever Lazarus died. And they said, "Jesus, if you'd only had come sooner, he wouldn't have died." And they were looking at it from their heart's perspective. But Jesus wasn't late. He was right on time because he was going to show them something greater. I mean, he had already healed people that were sick. But to heal somebody, bring somebody back to the life that had died was a greater thing. And God in his timing knew what was best. And same with us. He knows when to bring time to an end. And so Solomon says, as a result of that, because he's right on time, we need to enjoy the time that he's given us. Look at verses 12 through 15. He says, I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. For this is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever, and nothing can be added to it or taken from him, from them. So God does it so that men will revere him. Solomon said, because God is good on time, because he knows what he's doing, we just need to enjoy each day. Live each day to the fullest. Make the most of the time God's given us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says, redeem the time. Make the most of it. For God gives us the time that we have to serve him, to live for him, and to glorify him in it. So whatever you're going through, whatever days he gives you, make the most of it for heaven. Because only thing we can take with us is what we do for him. And live life one day at a time. Trusting him moment by moment, day by day, knowing that he is leading us, guiding us, and directing us. That he will accomplish his purpose within our life. That's what gives meaning and value to time. Enjoying each day, living it to the fullest, knowing that God is right in what he does. And he has a set time and purpose in what he allows in our life to go through. So to everything, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you know what you're doing. And you are never late, you are never early, but you're right on time. And Lord, we confess that sometimes when we're going through those unpleasant seasons of life, that we wish they would pass quicker than they do. That we don't want to have to go through times of sorrow. We don't want to have to go through times of sickness or times of want. We would rather experience the times of plenty and the times of joy and the times of rejoicing, the times of birth and not the times of death. But life includes all of these things. And you use every one of them as a season within our life to fashion us, to make us more like yourself. But we know that it's just a season on your timetable. And that you work in a way that we don't know. Your calendar and your countdown clock keeps time in a whole different way because you are sovereign and Lord over it. And you establish it, Lord, to accomplish your purpose and will within us. So, Lord, as we go through those times, we thank you that you are the one that gives meaning and purpose. That when we go through them, we can look, teach us, Lord, to trust in you, to look for your greater purpose and what it is we're going through. We may not understand it at the time, but to trust you that you know, that you have a game plan that you are executing in our life that we may not see or understand. And to trust you as our coach and the leader of our life and to execute the plays that you give us in fulfillment of your will. Knowing that at the end, the clock will count down to zero at your time. That season will pass, and you will make everything beautiful and right at the appointed time. So we thank you, Lord, for that promise and that truth. And so, Lord, it makes our days on earth and our time that we have between our birth and our death meaningful and purposeful for you to live each day to the fullest for you as you give it to us, because we're not guaranteed of another day. All we have is the day you've given us. To live from each moment by moment, trusting in you and in your provision and in your grace. So thank you, Lord, for your word, for your instruction in our life, and may we walk in you, being guided by you this week, in whatever time you give us, whatever days are ahead of our lives, to walk in them to the fullest for you, knowing that Life will go through all seasons, but in the middle of it, you were there, giving us your purpose, your peace, and your presence. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.